The World Health Organization is calling for emergency action to rid the world of a disease you may have thought was already eliminated. The group is warning that efforts to completely eradicate polio are failing in three countries. We'll hear from the WHO in just a couple of minutes, but first, WBUR's Bob Oakes offers this personal reflection on what was once the most feared of all childhood diseases.
It seems like such a distant memory today, for those who remember it at all. Polio as an epidemic in America. It was at its height in 1952 here. There were 58,000 cases that year alone, 3,000 people died, and 21,000 suffered often debilitating illnesses, as polio atrophied the muscles and the bones, leaving limbs and sometimes lungs useless. I know the story well, because as a 9-month-old baby in 1955, I woke one morning unable to move in my crib, or so my parents told me. I, too, had polio. But I was one of the lucky ones, as I never had to spend even one day in an iron lung, letting this huge contraption breathe for me, as so many others had to. Damage to my body was confined to two limbs, the left arm and the right leg, atrophy in both. Years of surgery during summers when I was a kid, as tendons were transplanted from other parts of my body to those limbs to allow some movement. Leg braces. I hated those. But I was one of the lucky ones. Very lucky. The surgeries worked to a degree. I played lots of stickball on the city streets in Worcester and baseball in the parks. As a teen and a younger man, I climbed all sorts of mountains, many times up the tallest ones in all the New England states and beyond. Long-distance backpacked in the California Sierras, following a wide stream to its trickle source in a permanent snowpack, and then up the unnamed peak behind it. I pushed myself, probably because I've been beating it back all my life. So, it's with great interest that I followed all the medical news about polio all these years, which makes the current headline come as a surprise, polio as an emergency again. To help us understand, we're joined now from Geneva, Switzerland, by Dr. Bruce Aylward, who's the Assistant Director General at the World Health Organization. Dr. Aylward, explain to us why you and others at the WHO think that the world needs to treat polio as an emergency again, because we're at another tipping point for the disease.
There's really three big things that have happened over the last year that have brought to the forefront the fact that we've got a narrow window to get this thing done. But probably the most important development was India became polio-free in the last year. And what that demonstrated conclusively to the world was, look, this is technically and biologically feasible. We're very close. We have a moral imperative to get this thing finished. The second thing that we saw really over the last 24 months was some jarring outbreaks that paralyzed not only children but also adults, and in some cases left between 30% and 50% of the adults in some areas dead, and reminded us again that this is not going to stay under control. We either get rid of it completely or we live with some really dire consequences in the short and the long term.
The global problem then is centered in Asia and Africa.
Right now, the global problem is centered in only three countries, really, in northern part of Nigeria, in southern Afghanistan, and in parts of Pakistan, especially along the border. That's it. We're down to the smallest areas in the world ever. But in the second half of 2011, despite all the attention on polio, they had a sudden and unexpected upsurge in cases. And all of these pieces together made the world realize we have to put this on an emergency footing if we're going to really change the game in these places and get this finished.
Explain why it is a problem and a very big problem in these three places.
All children are not being vaccinated. It's as simple as that. We need to get to all children multiple times, vaccinate them to get this virus stopped.
Is part of the problem in some of these areas that healthcare workers have to deal with conflict and the fact that in some places there are no roads?
These are some areas with the weakest infrastructure. Like you said, there may be no road or the road slides or whatever. The second problem we have in some areas is insecurity. We've dealt with that problem in lots of other places, but it's unsafe some of the places where this disease persists. And then a third challenge is sometimes the parents have a lot of questions about whether or not their children should be vaccinated, and there needs to be work to make sure any concerns are resolved. The other really big problem they have is we're trying to do it without sufficient financial resources to make sure they can overcome those barriers.
Is some of the problem in raising money simply due to the fact that polio has been eradicated in so many places like the U.S.?
Absolutely. This is a big part of the challenge. When we say to people we need $2.2 billion over the next 24 months to reach hundreds of millions of children, and that we only have half of the money that we need to do that, people say, but gosh, there isn't polio in the world anymore. And unfortunately, there still is.
Let me push back a little bit. Why all the attention on polio when malaria, tuberculosis, HIV, and so many other diseases are ravaging countries across the world? And when diabetes in the U.S., as we know, is aiming toward historic highs and alarming highs, especially among teenagers?
Eradicating polio in and of itself is a great buy. There was a very nice study done by researchers from Harvard and Delft University about a year ago that showed once polio is stopped, the lowest income countries in the world alone will reap $40 to $50 billion. That's five times the investment in this program. The second part of that is that investment does an awful lot more than just eradicate polio. The same infrastructure is now getting bed nets out there. It's getting other vaccines, measles vaccines out there. It's often the first responders in humanitarian crises.
Dr. Bruce Aylward, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Aylward is Assistant Director General of the World Health Organization. He spoke with WBUR's Bob Oakes. We had help with this story from the United Nations Foundation.